hear these words from the psalmist. Praise the Lord, you heavenly beings. Praise God's glory and power. Praise the Lord's glorious name. Bow down before the Holy One when God appears. The voice of the Lord is heard on the seas. The glorious God thunders, and God's voice echoes over the ocean. The voice of the Lord is heard in all its might and majesty. We join together to sing Amazing Grace. As we gather, using your chat function, who knew that that would be a sentence? In this time when we gather, using your chat function, tell me things that you are thankful for. Come on, you've got the water in your toilets is cleaner than the water that most people in the world drink. What would you be thankful for on this day? I can see somebody's dog, come on. Samuel, you're happy for your dog. I know some of you are happy for your teas and your coffees. You wouldn't, usually as you gather to worship, you wouldn't be allowed. What else have you got? Homes to live in, a clean bed to sleep in. What would you be thankful for? Food in your cupboards. Don't know about your cupboards, but my cupboards, if I wasn't allowed to go to the shops for, no, don't, raise listening. I could live for months. What you got? What are you thankful for? Tesco deliveries. My family's worship. Yeah. Right, so I'll use these. Making time to worship. We're not having to work. Well, I am, but the rest of you aren't. So let us join to pray. Let us pray. Lord, the times that we are in are really difficult. But we have much to give you thanks for. We thank you for our homes. We thank you for food, for drink. We thank you for friends, for life, for creation. We thank you for good health. We thank you for times of worship. We thank you for our families. We thank you for work. We thank you for those whose work keeps us supplied. We thank you for those who come from Tesco. We thank you for freedom, for food in our stomachs, for family. We thank you for those who support us. We thank you for warm clothing. We thank you for electricity. We thank you for one another, friends, family, and work. We thank you that our families are okay. We thank you for the internet. We thank you for clean air. We thank you for the National Health Service. For 5G internet and so on. Thank you, thank you. And some of us have things to thank you for that are so private. We're not chatting about them. We're just feeling them in our hearts. We thank you. And for our prayers of confession, the response is, we are sorry, Lord. We are sorry for all those things that we have that we do not focus on, for the things that we take for granted. We are sorry, Lord. Sometimes through pride and stubbornness or fear, we build up barriers and we do not reach out to others, even to you. We are sorry, Lord. At times we give in to our weaknesses and to temptations, failing to draw on your strength, overwhelmed by the difficulty of our situation, and we find it hard to trust you. We are sorry, Lord. Help us to turn things around and turn them to you. Help us to learn from the past and draw on your strength and on your peace. Help us to remember that you will be with us into our future. O God, when Jesus was baptized, you spoke of your love for him. You showed your love through Jesus' death and resurrection, and by the power of the cross, the darkness of our wrongdoing is banished by the light of your loving forgiveness. Thanks be to God. Amen. We join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So we have two readings that we would share with you this morning, the first from Genesis and the second from Mark. The Genesis reading is the, if anybody ever says to you, "Oh, I don't believe in the Bible because I don't believe in creation," you say to them, "Which story of creation are you talking about?" Which makes it quite clear that you actually know that there's more than one, because there is. The first one, which is relatively speaking the more modern one, is right at the beginning. The beginning of the story of God's outpouring of life. We find the powerful evocation of the dawn of everything. Description of emptiness and darkness suddenly transformed by the word of God. A thrilling moment when light erupts from the chaos and the life of creation takes over. And then from Mark's gospel, Mark announces his gospel as the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he sets the scene up for transformation by telling the story of John the Baptist, who fulfills Isaiah's prophecy and makes the preparations. So let us listen for the word of God, and then we will go into the sermon.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Amen.
This is from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.' Amen."
Warm greetings from Kingston United Reformed Church, where I, Leslie Charlton, am one of the ministers. If you need us, shout. We're grateful to speak to you, happy to hear what's going on for you, happy to hear your story. The text that I'm preaching from this day is Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5, and Mark 1, 1 to 11. On the front of her t-shirt, it said, "In the beginning, God." Then the name of the church that she was a part of. She was there on a march called the Moral Monday March, where citizens in North Carolina have taken to the streets to protest peacefully about a whole raft of measures. In the beginning, God. Does it start with creation? Where does the story begin? Up till now, and it ends today, and there's various staging points along the way. There's the manger, there's the teaching, there's the cross, there's the empty tomb, there's the spirit, there's the church, there's the choice. Where does it start? Does the story of creation actually matter to the story of salvation? Or is it something completely different, totally unrelated? Is there any relationship between the two of them? Have you ever considered that before? And if not, I wonder what that says about our view of creation. Is creation a sort of second best? Because what really matters are the salvation plans of God. And if that's our view, I wonder who else's view it is and how that is shaping views about the environment. Some people think of Jesus as a pleasant enough bloke who strolled around Israel, Palestine, giving out wise words to people, taking his time, slowly meandering, spending time with children, slowly speaking about his truth. That is just before things went horribly wrong when we go for crucifixion and death. But Mark's gospel has a story that is told at pace. The word that rings through it that is translated immediately and then, like a small child telling a story without, before they've learnt to put good links in. We did this, and then that happened, and then this, and then, and the time is right. The start of Mark's gospel is a title, not a sentence. There's no verb. It tells all about this story and what it means, and then we start with John. This is the good news about Jesus the Christ. Christ is not Jesus' surname. His surname was Bar-Joseph, son of Joseph. Christ is his title. Jesus was and is a name. Jesus plays for Seville and the Spanish national team. It would be odd in British culture for somebody to be called Jesus, but not in other cultures, because it's not the most important part of his name. He was Jesus, the Christ. Christ is not a name, it's a unifying cosmic entity. The Christ is the eternal, everlasting God bit of Jesus. Who is the Christ? Or in the words that we know, the Word made flesh. So Mark starts his gospel with the double whammy. This is about Jesus, the Christ. And let me get my highlighter pen out, says the writer of the gospel according to Mark. He says it again. This is the Christ, the Son of God. Have you got it? That's who he is. And the point of the baptism, the heavens open, and a voice declares, "You are my dear son. I am pleased with you." Or in the Message translation, "You are my son, chosen and marked by my love, pride of my life, says the Spirit. And then we're back in a circle. We're back with creation and the cosmic Christ moving over the waters, the breath of God. Breath, the same word as Spirit. And the Spirit speaks into the world and speaks the world into being. And God takes up residence among us. To quote the fabulous Richard Rohr, incarnation is the oldest Christian story. Through Christ, God is pouring God's self into all creation. To be Christian, then, is to see Christ in everything. Incarnation is the oldest Christian story. Through Christ, God is pouring God's self into all creation. To be Christian, then, is to see Christ in everything. Richard Rohr is a Franciscan, which means that the shape that his order is based around is St. Francis of Assisi. You might remember him. He's the guy who takes a vow of poverty and is focused on animals, creation. For the Franciscans, creation is the first of the three testaments. The word of God is seen in creation and then in the Old and the New Testaments. And alongside that, for St. Francis, the most important Christian festival was Christmas, rather than Easter. Not that the Franciscans deny the importance of Easter, not that their value for Christmas is all about the fact they have shares in Coca-Cola and all the other consumerist nonsense that we're a part of. Christmas has the highest priority because of what the incarnation is a sign of. It is a sign that God comes towards us. Before we do anything, before we respond in any way, God reaches out in love. The grace of God is not dependent on our response. The nature of God is to love first. And God takes the initiative and we respond. Too much of our religion has become centered on us, on me and my ways. It is God who creates. It is God who comes among us. It is God who is born. It is God who is with us every day through nature. The beginning is with God. So it is the right t-shirt to be wearing on a protest march because it says, God has regard for all people and they are worthy, worthy of care and respect. And it's also right to be on a protest march as a Christian. Well, it was once. If you believe that on some issue, God's people, which is everyone, God's people are not being given the care that they are due, we need to be among those who raise the issue. You may have noticed that I've paid no attention to the whole science versus religion debate around the creation story. That's because I think it's a load of nonsense. There is no debate between science and religion. They are not contrary forces. The science is the how. God is about the why. How did God create? Evolution is compatible with the poem at the start of Genesis and anything else. It is a fine theory for now. The whole thing is that we are on the edge of something. Mark's breathy excitement that this is the Christ on the earth, the Word made flesh. And the story weaver in Genesis, the Word of God moves over the waters and gives order from chaos. Two questions then. How would our lives be if we were determined to be open to spotting God all around us all of the time? And remember that human beings are as much part of creation as lovely flowers and excellent vistas are. And secondly, where does your story begin? Once, back in the olden days when you could do such things, we were up in Scotland. Sophia was there. It was 2018, and Sophia asked my mother, in the way that little people do, did you have any brothers and sisters, Granny Jean? Yes, I had three. One of them died as a baby. When did he die? And then we realised that he died in 1918, which takes us back 100 years. So the conversation with this small child takes her back in her living history and family memory 100 years. It's not about each of us in isolation in this particular moment in history. It's about each of us in our place in the continuum of God as a part of creation and part of God's saving story. And it's not about our efforts. Our response is exactly that. God reaches out first. We respond. God reaches out first. And maybe we need to model that. And we need to be people who will reach out to others too. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. As you can see, I'm not doing an introduction to the theme today. I confess I was really struggling with coming up with a talk today. I'd come up with two ideas and I wasn't very happy with them, and I just was doing the washing up at home, actually, and an idea came into my head. I was reminded of something. And I just felt that's what I wanted to share with you. It's not really an all age thing. Well, I suppose it is, but I really felt like God wanted me to share it with you. So that's what I'm going to do. And it's in relation to a Christian writer and author and speaker called Joyce Meyer. Some of you will have heard of her because I think Leslie introduced me to her years ago, and she's a big fan. I don't know if you can see that. That's her picture. She's written hundreds of books, and I've got quite a few of them. And the one that I keep coming back to is this one. It's called Power Thoughts. And her belief is a bit like Christian CBT, actually. Her belief is that what we think about really does affect the way that we feel and the way that we behave. And she asks us to think about positive things which are based on scriptural truth. And that's what the book's about. And she's got 12 power thoughts. And I want to share them with you today. I'm just going to read through each one slowly and pause. You can repeat them after me if you like. And I'm going to ask you, if one of them particularly jumps out at you, to take that into your week, because I believe that that might be God speaking to you. Okay, so I hope that's okay. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And what she says to do is, you know, if there's something that speaks to you, to talk about it, to write it down, to pray about it, to meditate on it. Really just keep meditating on it until it becomes part of your thinking. So I'm going to read them, and they are on the screen, but I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, you know, and just receive from God. And I hope that it's helpful for you, because I think we're all struggling at the moment. I can do whatever I need to do in life through Christ. God loves me unconditionally. I will not live in fear. I am difficult to offend. I love people and I enjoy helping them. I trust God completely. There is no need to worry. I am content and emotionally stable. God meets all my needs abundantly. I pursue peace with God, myself, and others. I live in the present and enjoy each moment. I am disciplined and self-controlled. I put God first in my life. Amen.
Thanks, Holly. I will copy those when I send out the notices, so you can all use them this week in your prayer time. We are grateful that Pohan and Ting and John Fisher look like they are recovering from the virus. It's good news. We're grateful. Doesn't mean they're going up for any running yet, but grateful. And one of the things that's come up is the fact that now that we're into our third lockdown, is to wonder about what support we need to be giving to those who are parents of children. Now, it might be that you've got particular skills that you could be offering, or it might be because of, you know, child protection, you need to have adults sitting in Zoom meetings, just being there, an extra person in the Zoom. If you can offer anything, would you be in touch with Sally, please? And because of the increased rates of the COVID in our area, the elders have made the decision that we will stop having the 5 o'clock gathering to worship, and our worship will be all on Zoom for this season. Feels like the safest thing for us to do. We will be gathering at some stage on Zoom to remember Margaret Jones and also to remember Nigel. But I'm sure you're aware that I've just got a message and I'll pass that on to you. I just need a bit of time to do that properly. My father's funeral is next Friday at the usual Zoom linkage, and I'm very grateful to Richard for making that happen. Last Sunday, it will go down as one of the most amazing times of my life, and I will at some stage when we're all back in the room and we can look at each other's faces, I'll share it with you. But I would like to say on behalf of the family that we were all really grateful for all those who put all that effort in with the singing and all the technology. Thank you very much. And we give to you the gift that now the next time you're at a Polish event and somebody says, let's sing Stow Let You Go. Ha ha! I remember that. I've sung that before. Thank you, Henrik. And crack on with it and give it some. So thank you very much to all those who put all that effort in. I'm leading worship today because the sermon was recorded. Well, same as I led worship last Sunday, because the sermon was recorded. And the sermon will be recorded for the next, you know, it's the crazy season that we're in. And it is in no sense, if we were in normal circumstances, I would have phoned somebody up and said, I'll see you later. But that's not where we are. And so it's in no sense me thinking that people of Kingston URC can't pick this up. That's not what I think. And I am grateful to all those who have stepped up and covered things. I'm grateful to the elders. I'm grateful to Kathy, who's been the sub church secretary. That's not sub in the sense of substandard, but in the sub in the sense of substitute. We are grateful to her. And I'm grateful to Martin and Hayon are now back in the UK. And I'm back. I'm thankful to Teresa James and to Sally for picking up the texting and the sending out of messages. So thank you very much to them. Thank you to everybody. Please, would you remember Anne Mackay, who is very unwell? She has COVID and is in Kingston Hospital. Could you remember Anne at this time? Thank you. I think that's everything for me. After my father's funeral, I will be taking some time off. I will still be preaching to you, but I will be taking some time off. And thank you to those who are making that happen. Thank you. After this morning's worship, there will be a church meeting. Please stay. Everybody is most welcome. And now we will be moving to our Holy Communion. So if you'd like to facilitate yourself with your bread and wine. But first I will dedicate these gifts and dedicate the gifts of money that we are all giving at this time. And if you have suddenly woken up to the fact that the way that you give money at this season isn't working, because you usually give money to somebody and they bring it in, or you usually put your money in the plate and you haven't done it, could you just remember that the bills have to be paid, and we're still paying them, so things have to be facilitated. And if you need help working out how we can make things happen, ask. But for now, let us pray. Loving God, our Creator, who gives us life and meaning, our Saviour, who gives us wholeness and hope, our Comforter, who gives us peace and joy, we offer our gifts to you. The things we have, the time we spend, the people we are. Use us to show your love to all the world. And give us a spirit of creativity to work out what that means in this season. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So let us pray. God, you are bread, whole, fragrant, nourishing. And you are bread, broken, fragmented, crumbs carelessly scattered. God, you are the vine, living, growing, bearing fruit, and you are wine, grapes crushed and trodden, the cup drained, the dregs spilt. God, you are light, shining, dazzling, brilliant in splendor, and you are darkness, depth and shadow, hiding in mystery. God, you are the Word, speaking in love and truth. And you are silence, the secrets unspoken, the meaning between the words. God, you are here, present with us through bread and wine and through one another. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Transform them and transform us as we receive, that as we eat and drink, we would recognize that you are with us and your holy presence would be revealed to us through bread, through wine. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we take bread, we take wine, and as Jesus gave thanks, so we give thanks. Let us pray. Rainbow creating God, maker and lover of all, who has made us in your image and loves us as your daughters and sons, calls us to work as your partners, we praise you. We praise you for the story of your love in Jesus, sharing the suffering of those who are on the outside, bringing into the open what was hidden and offering a community of acceptance for all. We pray for those who feel that nobody cares about them. We pray for those whose social isolation has been made so much worse by this time. We pray for those who physically have to isolate because they are ill. Pray for those who have health conditions which they have lived with for years, managed well, and now because of the COVID they are having to withdraw from society. We praise you for the sign of this table, an invitation for those who have been thrown out, a welcome for those who have been excluded, a feast of delight for friends and lovers of justice. We bring to this table our remembrance of hidden grief and invisible scars, of anger and outrage at injustice. We bring to this table our remembrance of those whom we love to have gone before us in the faith. pray for those who mourn. And we recognise, Lord our God, that that isn't about those who are recently bereaved, but those who have been bereaved months and years ago. We give thanks for your solidarity with our suffering and the hope that you make all things new. We pray for those whose stories are heavy on our hearts. As we take this bread and wine, signs of your body and blood, making holy our bodies and blessing our pleasure, may we know your Spirit's presence in liberation and power. Fill us with pride in owning your name and joy as living as your people. Blessing and honour belong to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. At table with friends, he took bread, which he blessed and broke and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." At table, surrounded with those that he loved, he said the ordinary words of blessing, and then, "This is my blood, which will be shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, light of the world, you have come into our darkness to be with us forever, so that the light never leaves our eyes and hope never leaves our hearts. Do not let your joy die in us, but let it be constantly renewed like the rising sun, until we gather in perfect light, tasting the fullness of love and coming with you into the presence of God our Creator, where we shall live and share God's life with all people forever. Amen. So we join together to sing our final hymn, "From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe."
So we join together to sing "The Servant King," which you'll find if you're using hymn book number 522.
Thank you.
to remember after this worship in the church meeting. So may the God who guides our journey, the Christ who bears the suffering of the world, the Spirit who empowers us with the gifts of life, fill us with courage, with wisdom, with hope, and with joy. Thanks be to God. And all God's people said, Amen.